and he might be laying around Sunday morning bored. That really wasn't the rumor, but I was hoping he wasn't engaged already. And so we sent the email, and there was a little tag here and there, but got in contact with Pastor Joseph. Yes. I wrote everybody up. I know your name, but I was going, you know, you don't want to be pastor who refers to the missionary with the wrong name. We had a when my wife and I got married, the pastor referred to my wife as as her sister Kathy. You don't want to be that pastor, right? You don't want to be misnaming ladies when you're performing a wedding. You know, I was about to back out because I definitely wasn't going to marry Kathy. That was not going to happen. So you don't want to be that pastor. Neither do you want to be the pastor who misnames the missionary. But God, in His grace, has opened up this door, and He has brought His wife Irene with Him. And they have two young daughters, Jemima and Jessica, who are actually going to be staying in the Wilmington area for the foreseeable future. They're going to take advantage of some school opportunities that have been opened up to them here. Next Sunday, Pastor goes back to the Congo, so you can pray for him and pray for the kids and Irene. You know that's going to be difficult, but you make sacrifices for your family sometimes, and you believe God's in it. And so without, really explaining His ministry, because He's going to do that for us, would you welcome our brother with me? Thank you.
Name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy to be here and to be able to come and share from our hearts what God is doing in the Congo. And so when Pastor Brian reached out and asked me to come, I was glad to come. Amen. And I am excited today to be able to come and meet you and be able to share what the Lord is doing in the Congo. And already just through walking into this building and being in the worship service, I feel at home. Amen. I feel like I am part and parcel of this family. You have a very warm fellowship, and I am blessed to be here. Amen. And Pastor Brian has already introduced my family. It's Irene. Irene, would you stand and maybe just say hi to the church? That's Irene, my wife. Amen. And we've been married for almost 18 years now. This year in December, it's going to be 18 years in our marriage. And we thank God for that, and the Lord has blessed us with two daughters that are going to go to school here in the U.S., and it's a great blessing for us. And sometimes you may not understand how great it is a blessing for us for the kids to go to school until you visit a place like Congo, and then you understand what it means for the kids to go to school here. You are blessed. Amen. You are blessed, and I want to begin by sharing something that God is doing in the Congo. We've been in the Congo for 15 years now with my wife since 2000, when the Lord called us to go to the Congo. We were sent as missionaries to the Assemblies of God Congo Church, particularly to be able to minister in the training area. We were to start a Bible school and help out with the training of pastors and church leaders. And we worked in that forum for about 8 years. And after 8 years of ministry in that way, we felt the Lord leading us to start another kind of ministry. And so in 2008, we began a church that we are calling the International Christian Community Church. You know, Congo is a French country, and so the Lord was pressing on our hearts that we needed to start a church that would minister to the people who speak English there in the city, and also because the city was growing and the mining industry was bringing in a lot of people from other countries, including the United States, that would come and work in the mines, and most of them would speak English, but there was no English church. So we decided to follow the Lord's lead to be able to start the church that we now call ICCC, the International Christian Community Church. And with about 8 people, we began that work. And the Lord has blessed us over the past few years. But immediately after we began the church, we were led by the Lord to begin to look for land. And the Lord helped us. At a cost of $50,000, we found a land of about 4 hectares. I don't know how much that translates here in terms of acres and so on, but it's a big piece of land. And so the Lord blessed us, and we were able to purchase that land. And the vision for the land is to build a Sunday school building on the property, and then a church sanctuary like this one, and also a community school and a hospital and a TV station. And I'll mention a little bit why we have that kind of vision as we go on. But we felt the Lord leading us to begin with a Sunday school building for 2 reasons. One, because it was a smaller project, and 2, because we wanted to be able to move from the place where we were renting for our Sunday services to a place where we could be. And so we began this project. But it was really a faith project, because our budget was too small to be able to actually dream to build this kind of building. And I want to show some of the land. I don't know if you could see that. That's our land, and that was just at the beginning of the project that we're talking about, the Sunday school building project. And so that's our land that you can see there, and that's just the beginning of the foundation works of that project that we began with. And I was saying, it was really a faith project, because when we contacted the architects and the people that know how to build, they gave us a bill of $250,000. And our income is about $4,000 a month to run the whole church and everything. And so when you compare that to that bill, it was really a very big faith project. And we really didn't know how we're going to do it, but we felt that the Lord was leading us to trust Him to do that. And miraculously, through a brother from Trinity Church, his name is Dan, we got in touch with the Trinity Church. And we got into a program called the Dollar for Dollar program. And it was miraculous, because this brother came to the office of one of our elders and he asked him a question. He says, "I'm told that you an elder in some church in town and you are very involved with this church. And I was just wanting to ask you, what can we do for your church?" And the elder said, "Well, a lot of things, you know." He said, "Number one thing is, we have this land that the Lord has given to us But we don't have the money to build the church. And he says, really, you have the land? He says, yes. He says, can I see the land? He says, yes, you can see. And so they drove and they went to see the land. And the only thing that was there on the land was this silab that we had put on the land. And so they saw the land. And then he said, you know what? I am a member of a church in the U.S., and I'm going to go back home and talk to my pastor and talk to the missions committee and see how we can be able to help you guys. And so when he went back, he came back home here and talked to his church and to the missions committee and to the pastor. They agreed that for every $1 that we could raise locally, they would give us another dollar. And so when we told the church was very excited, and we began to raise the funds, and we began to mobilize the church to collect the funds. And when we were able to collect our first $25,000, we told the church at Trinity, said, we have raised this, and immediately they sent us another $25,000. And that was a big boost. And we began to build on that slab that you can see that there. We began to build the church. And you can see the construction building going on there. And the moment we raised another $25,000, they gave us yet another $25,000. And it was a big, big boost. And the building that you can see there, it went up, I think, within 1 year. And it was a great, great blessing. And that's how the Lord miraculously helped us to be able to come up with that building. You can see it's at that level now. It's just about to be finished. We are remaining with the ceiling and also the tiling and the painting and the water gutters to be able to completely finish. Right now, we have spent almost about $200,000 on that building. And of course, the bill from the construction company was $250,000. So with another $50,000, we should be able to do the tiling, the ceiling, and the painting, and all the other small things that are remaining. But when the building was roofed, we invited Pastor Steve from Trinity, and also Dan was there, and another brother called Kevin, and they attended. I think that was our fifth anniversary. We have a custom in the church where every year we celebrate the church anniversary, and we bring people together, and we just have a wonderful time to just thank God for what He is doing at the church. And so it was, I think, the fifth year of our church, and Pastor Steve came, and Brother Dan was there, and where the building is right now, there, as you can see, it is about, is it 30 or 35 k's from town? About there, 30, 35 k's from town, and so it's quite a distance from where we used to meet to where we are right now. And of course, we had some concerns when we move. How are the people going to be coming to church and back? It was a big concern. But again, miraculously, the Lord met that need in a very, very powerful way. I think it was just during that same anniversary when we mentioned the need. And a brother from Trinity, his name Dan, he said, if you guys can clear the bus, I will buy the bus and ship it to you. And you can imagine the church was so, so excited and encouraged. And for sure, when he did go back, he was able to organize the bus through the church at Trinity. And they shipped the bus. You can see the bus there, the school bus. And And you can see there that was the dedication. If you can put the next picture, that was the dedication Sunday. We got all the people together and we prayed for the church and we dedicated the bus to the ministry at ICC. And it's been a great, great blessing. It's a big bus. I know you people know those school buses, and it's a great blessing. And in fact, I was telling Andy this morning as we were coming that it's become one of the signs that people know the church in the city now. They say, oh, the church with a big, you know, bus, you know. And it's really a blessing for the ministry there. Now, what we are doing at the moment at the church is between two times in a year, we organize ourselves and the church to be able to give some foodstuffs to the people, because the place where we are, where the church has moved, is a very needy place. There's a lot of families there and children that are really, really in need. And so when we moved there, the Lord placed on our hearts that we needed to be able to get involved with the lives of the people. And so we organize ourselves and we give some foodstuffs like rice and cooking oil and whatever small things that we can be able to put together. And you can see some of those pictures of the distribution going on there. We do that two or three times a year as the Lord blesses us. And the Lord has blessed us with three years, the Lord has blessed us with 350 children in our Sunday school ministry. And if you look at those children, they are so needy, and some of them have no shoes as they come to church, and they have no proper clothing. You can see they haven't eaten food, you know, for some time. And so we felt the Lord leading us to at least provide one meal a day for them, and we chose Sunday to be the day when we would provide a meal. And we would simply sometimes ask members to donate, and we would simply give them, you know, what they would call in West Africa, water, rice, you know, and porridge. It's a meal that is, you know, made from cornmeal, and we would give them. Sometimes we just give them tea, you know, just some bread and tea, and that would help them. And so we do that every Sunday, and you can see that's the picture of our children's church. That's a picture from, I think, our recent children's Sunday. We do have like a children's Sunday, a women's Sunday, a youth Sunday, and this was a children's church. And you can see that whole building is full just with the children. And in fact, as a church, we are using the building on an ordinary Sunday, and the children are outside in tents. We bought some four tents where the children gather together and they worship from there. But when it's the children's Sunday, we give them back their building and they can be able to use it. And so we have taken their building until we are able to build our church sanctuary. Then they can claim back their building. And so you can see those pictures of the children's church there. And the project that we are working on right now, which is coming from the need of the area, you know, the 350 children that we have at the church right now, most of them don't go to school. And some of them would want to go to school, but first, there are no proper schools, and secondly, their parents would not be able to afford the schools in the area. And so we have come up with this very faith ambitious project, because when we consulted the architects and the guys that do construction, they gave us a bill of $5 million to be able to build a school from kindergarten level to high school. And so that's the project that we are working on. It's just a new project that we have launched. And of course, it's a faith project. And we believe that if the Lord was able to help us to build this building, then He is certainly able to help us to build a school, because the area is so needy and they just need a school. You know, the reason why we brought our children here to learn here is because the school system there is broken. If I showed you a picture of a school, you wouldn't really think that's a school, you know. And so we believe in the Lord to be able to do that for us. And we have a link there. We made a small video clip there. If you cut and paste there and you put it on online, you will be able to see this whole project being explained. Some of it at the beginning is French, and then you will see me talking at some point, and you will see Sami, like Andy would know Sami, and he is also explaining on the building project. And so we're trying to knock on every door and see how we can be able to build a school for the children in that area. And so the needs that we have at the moment is to finish that first building, the Sunday school building, which we will need about another $50,000. And of course, secondly, begin that school project, which is going to cost about $5 million. And I want to challenge you to get involved. You can get involved individually. You can get involved as a church. And you can also get involved by connecting us to people that might help. Maybe a company, an organization, whatever it is that you can do, I want to challenge you to allow God to use you to help the church in the Congo. Amen. Praise God. And I don't know, Pastor Brian, if I can go ahead and share from God's word at this moment. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn with me, if you can, in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and we will read from verse 1. Chapter 7 and verse 1. And we will read. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum, and there a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself, I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house, and they found the servant well. Amen. Would you bow with me, and we're just going to pray as we go into the teaching of God's word. Lord, we thank you today for this opportunity to be able to share from your word. I pray, Lord, as I speak your word to your people here at Calvary Assembly of God, that your presence will be with us. Minister to us, Lord, according to your will and at the point of our needs. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that you will give us a clarity of mind and of speech. And I pray for this congregation, Lord, that you will give them a receptivity, a hearing from above. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. I want to share with you this morning on the subject I've entitled, He Built Us a Synagogue. He Built Us a Synagogue. This is a very, very interesting passage of Scripture. It mainly focuses on a man that was not from Israel. A man that was a Roman, a centurion, a member of the army of Rome that was placed in Israel to be able to rule over the people of Israel. It's interesting that he had a good relationship with the elders of Israel. And normally the Jews would not have a relationship, a good relationship with a Roman soldier. But it's interesting here to note that this man had a very wonderful relationship with the elders of the Jews, to the point where when his servant was sick and he was about to die, he talked to the elders of the Jews and he sent them to Jesus to ask for him if Jesus would come and heal his servant. And as I was studying the scriptures, I wanted to know, why did this man have such an impact and such a relationship with the Jews? But two things come out, and I wanted to begin with those two things. They mention in the passage as they went to Jesus, they mention two things. They said, Jesus, we want you to do this thing for this man because he loves our nation. Amen. This man loves our nation. And that is one thing that distinguishes this man from his group or from his people, the Romans, is that this particular man, he loves our nation. And because he loves our nation, they pleaded with Jesus, can you go please and heal his son, his servant? Can you go with us and touch his servant, because this man loves our nation? Amen. It's interesting, beloved, when somebody is full of love, that Jesus, when he heard that, the Bible said he went with them because he was moved, even though he had just come from a very big teaching ministry, or you would call it a conference or convention. He had been teaching for a long time and he was definitely tired. But he, because of what they said about this man, Jesus straight away went with them because this man loves our nation. Amen. This man loves our nation. Beloved, I want you to know God is so moved about love in our hearts because God Himself is love. Amen. The Bible says God Himself is love. And so He is moved when He sees people full of love. And I want you to know one of the things that makes a person to be called a good man is when they are full of man. A good woman is when they are full of love. And when you are full of love, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. Amen. Many times people would call Jesus the good teacher, the good master. The reason why they would call him like that, it was because he was full of love. He had compassion. He had pity upon people. He would look at people and he would be moved with compassion. Amen. And I want to challenge you, beloved, that if we want to become children of God, if we want to be a people that God can look at us and be moved to do things for us and be moved to touch us and be moved to bless us, we need to be full of the love of God. And that is the way this man was. He was a non-Israelite, a centurion, a Roman soldier. He was not even a disciple of Jesus. He was just a soldier. But he had heard about Jesus. And there was something about him. He loved the nation of Israel. Amen. And I know that there are many pastors that would speak a lot about the fact that as children of God, as Christians, as a nation, we need to love Israel as a nation. And that is good. But beloved, I want you to know that for me, when I look at Israel, I'm looking about the greater Israel, the children of God. Amen. All of us, we are part of that family of Israel. We are part of the children of Abraham. We are sons and daughters of Abraham. Therefore, we are part of this big and greater Israel. And I want you to know that when you love the family of God, when you love Israel, God begins to have a soft spot towards you. Amen. One thing that I notice in the scripture is that God is not a God of partiality. God is not God who favors other people above others. But I have noticed again and again that when you do the things that God wants you to do, when you live the way that God wants you to live, that God has this soft spot towards you. Amen. That God would actually stop from doing what He is doing to come and minister to you because you are doing what God considers to be important, because you are doing what touches the heart of God, because you are broken by the things that breaks the heart of God, because you are concerned about the things that concerns God. Amen. This man loved the nation of Israel. He was a man full of love. And the elders of Israel, they saw that. And they could sense the love of God. Amen. You know, the thing about the love of God is that you cannot just say, I love you. The people can be able to tell if you are full of love. Amen. They can sense it. It almost like they can smell it. It almost like it emanates. It comes out of you. They can sense the love of God. And the elders of Israel could see that from this man. They could sense the love of God coming out of him. And so they knew. And so when they plead with Jesus, they are saying, this man loves our nation. And beloved, how wonderful it is for somebody else to plead to God on your behalf. I mean, that's what intercession is all about. Amen. It is somebody kneeling down to God and said, Lord, touch my brother. Lord, touch my sister. Because she is a good person. He is a good brother. Minister to him, Lord. Remember the things that he has done for you. Remember him, oh God. That's what intercession is all about. And that is what these elders of the Jews were doing. They were interceding for this man, to Jesus. Minister to him, Lord. Minister to his servant, because he deserves it, and he loves our nation. He loves our nation. And secondly, I wanted to mention that one of the reasons why these people, the elders of the Jews, were so convinced that this man really loves our nation is because, number two, he built them a synagogue. He built them a synagogue. This was not just love that comes out of your mouth. It was not just love through words. Like the Apostle John says, let us not love just with words. Let us put our love into practice. Let us demonstrate the love of God. And the Apostle John, he says, behold how God has loved us by giving us his own begotten son and calling us his children. He has demonstrated. When you see Jesus coming to the world and walking this earth and dying on the cross, that was a demonstration of his love. Amen. He didn't just sit in heaven and say, I love you. He came down and demonstrated it. This centurion, this Roman soldier, he actually demonstrated his love to the nation of Israel by building them a synagogue. By building them a synagogue. And there's something about building a synagogue, because that, the synagogue was a meeting place. When the children of Israel had been scattered all over the world, when they developed the system of coming together under the synagogue, because where they went everywhere, there was no temple. And so they would come together and meet together in the synagogue and share the word of God and have fellowship. And so these synagogue was a meeting place. It was like a church. It was like a place where they would come and just worship the Lord. And this man built a synagogue for them as a demonstration of his love for the people of Israel. Beloved, I want you to know there's something about building a synagogue for the people of God. There's something about... One thing I've discovered is that when people are full of love, they are also people that give. Amen. They are also people that give. Because, you know, giving is not because somebody has got a lot. Giving comes from the heart. Amen. Whatever it is that somebody has, they give from the heart. It's not out of the abundance. It is out of the love of God that comes through your heart. It's out of that love that this man was able to give. And he built them a synagogue because of his love for the Lord, because he was a man full of love. I want to challenge you today to not only be a person full of love, but to be a person that is generous. Amen. Generous, to be able to get involved in the work of God. And it's not about how much you have, but it's about your heart and your love. Amen. It's about your heart and your love. There's something about building and helping, you know, building somebody have their own house or something. But when you build a synagogue, when you get involved in building a church, beloved, I want you to know that will go from generation to generation. And everybody that enters into that place, they remember that this was done by this person and that church and that group. There's something so powerful that God, every time he looks at what you did, his heart softens towards you. His heart softens towards you. And that is what is happening here. These people are saying, Lord, this man built us a synagogue. And Jesus said, wow, that is powerful. I want to go and see that man. I want to go and bless that man because he has done a good thing. Amen. He has done a good thing. And finally, in my third point, this man did not only love the nation, he was not only full of love, he did not only demonstrate his love by building the synagogue, but he had great faith. In verse 9 of chapter 7, if you read with me, it says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. This man says, as Jesus is about to get to the house, he sends some servants, he sends some people and said, tell Jesus not to come into my house. And I can imagine as Jesus was going with a group of his disciples and some people, he was thinking, maybe now they are coming. The people were thinking, maybe they are coming to say the servant is dead. Because, you know, he was very sick and he was about to die. And they're coming, they said, stop. My master says, you don't need to come into my house because, you know, that's why in the first place I didn't want to come to you, because I'm not worthy that you must come into my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. And Jesus is like, wow, this man, he does not only love the nation, he has not only built the synagogue, but he has such great faith. He has such great faith. He is saying, distance is not a problem to me. I mean, just say the word. I don't need you to come into my house. I don't need you to come and touch my servant. Just say the word. And this man is not even a rabbi. He's not a teacher. This man is not even a disciple of Jesus. This man is not even from Israel, the people of God. This is a Roman soldier, a Gentile, a people that do not know God as a nation. But he has such great faith. And Jesus says, I have never seen this kind of faith even in Israel, even among the people of God. The people of the scriptures, the people who have a background of knowing God, I have never seen that kind of faith. And beloved, I want you to know that that's one place in the whole of the Gospels where Jesus is amazed at somebody's faith. Jesus marvels and he says, I have never seen this kind of faith. Where this man doesn't even need me to go into his house. He just says, speak the word. Amen. Just speak a word. He says, I'm a man of authority myself. I have soldiers under me. I said to one, go, and he goes. I said to one, come, he comes. I tell somebody to do something, and I have authority. I am under authority as well. And he was recognizing the authority of Jesus. He had recognized something that not even his disciples had recognized yet. He had recognized something that not even the people in Israel had recognized yet. This man says, just a word from you, Jesus, because you are a man of authority. You can decree things and they will come to pass. Just say a word. And that will be enough. And Jesus was, he marvels. He was filled with joy. He was filled with excitement. He says, this is an interesting man. This is an interesting man because this man has got great faith. Amen. And beloved, I want you to know there is nothing that is more powerful and pleasing to God than a man and a woman of faith. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the writer to the Hebrews says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Because he that comes to God must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those that earnestly or diligently seek him. And that was this man. And so this man pleased Jesus. Jesus was pleased with this man's faith. He was excited about this man's faith. And he turns and he says to his disciples, he says, I have never seen this kind of faith, not even in Israel. So, beloved, you see, this man is not only full of love. This man does not only demonstrate by building a synagogue, but he has great faith. He has great faith. He is able to believe God for healing. He is able to believe God. He says, you don't even need to come into my house. You don't need to come under my roof. Just say the word and it will be done. Amen. I want to challenge you today to recognize that Jesus is a man of authority. Amen. And that this Jesus has got all power. In fact, Jesus says, all power in heaven and on earth has been given me. And he says, therefore go and preach this gospel. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. He is a man of authority. And when you read the book of Mark in chapter 1 and verse 1, it says the gospel of Mark is about Jesus, the Messiah and the Son of God. This Jesus is not only the son of Joseph, but he is the Son of God. And the Jews that understood what that meant, they knew that when Jesus said, I am the Son of God, he was simply meaning, I am God. I am God. And that's why they got annoyed and they say, you just a man. How come you say such things? You are blaspheming. But Jesus was not just the son of Joseph, but he was the God incarnate. He was God himself walking on earth. And this centurion, this soldier, Roman soldier, was able to see that. He was able to recognize that. And he says, just say a word. Amen. Just say a word and it shall be done. And the Bible says when the servants went back home. When the servants went back home, they found the servant who was sick healed. Amen. He was healed. Jesus didn't go to the house. He just stopped there and he says, this man is an interesting man. Let's go back. Let's go back home. And the servant was healed. Amen. Beloved, I want to challenge you today that this Jesus is a great Jesus. Amen. That this Jesus, when we believe him, he doesn't need to even come into our heart. He doesn't need to even touch us. He can just say the word. And that's why the psalmist said, he sent his word and healed your disease. Amen. He sent his word and healed your disease. I want you to bow with me and we're going to pray. We got to pray this morning and just believe God for what he is able to do in our lives. I believe Jesus is here this morning. I want you to reach out. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, I want to challenge you today to just reach out to Jesus because he is in this place this morning. Amen. He is in this place this morning. And I want to speak today and just pray for you under that authority of Jesus. And just pray that the Lord would minister to you. Whatever the situation, whatever the problem might be. I want to just pray a prayer with you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If your eyes are closed and your head is bowed and you are saying, Pastor Joseph, I just need God to minister to me this morning. And I'm believing that this Jesus that you are talking about is here this morning. And I want him to minister to me. I want him to touch me. I want you to lift your hands. And I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm just going to speak a word upon your life right now. And believe that this God that we preach about, this Jesus that I'm talking about, is going to come and minister to you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, even the Son of the Living. Just lift your hand and I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for those hands that are being lifted up this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will minister to them. I pray, minister to my sister right now. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is, Lord, that she needs you to minister to, I pray that you will minister to her right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every power of darkness. I pray your healing touch. I pray your touch upon our life in the name of Jesus. Touch her, Lord, I pray. Touch her in the name of Jesus. I pray for my brother here, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray your healing touch. I pray your power to flow in his body in the name of Jesus. Minister to him, Lord, at the point of his need. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. I give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. I pray for my sister. In the name of Jesus, Lord, minister to her right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I rebuke every power of darkness, every demonic influence. I come against it. I pray the healing touch. Touch our Lord at that point of our need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray a healing touch. I pray, touch my sister right now. In the name of Jesus, minister to her, oh God. You are a God of all power, the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. I pray your healing touch to flow in this body right now. Whatever it is that she's believing you, Lord, for, I pray, minister to her right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, we give you praise and glory and honor. I pray, Lord, for my sister here, in the name of Jesus. Minister to her right now. Minister, oh God, at the point of our need. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will touch her from the toes of her feet, Lord, to the hairs of her head. I pray a healing touch right now. In the name of Jesus. And I trust that you are able, oh God, because you have done it before and you have all the power and all the resources. In the name of Jesus, I pray for my brother. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch him right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch him, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Minister to him, Lord. Minister and touch him at that point of need. You know what he needs right now, because you know all things. I give you praise and glory and honor and power. I thank you for my brother here. In the name of Jesus, minister to him, Lord. I pray a healing touch. I pray ministry upon his life. Touch him, oh God, and minister to him at that point of need, in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. I pray, minister, oh God, right now. Spirit of the Living God, I pray that you will breathe in this room. Just minister to people right now. I pray for my sister. In the name of Jesus, minister to her right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray a touch from above. Minister to her, Lord, right now at the point of her need. I rebuke every power of darkness, every influence of the devil. I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Touch her, Lord, right now. In Jesus' mighty name, Spirit of the living God, I pray that you will just minister, continue to move and minister to your people right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for my brother right now in the name of Jesus. Touch him, Lord. Touch him. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray a healing touch, Lord, whatever it is that he's believing and asking you for, I pray a touch from above. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, even the Son of the living God, the God of all power and all grace, in Jesus' glorious name, we give you praise and glory and honor and power in Jesus' name. I pray even for my brother here, Lord. I pray your healing touch to flow in this body. In the name of Jesus, may your healing power, Lord, flow in this body. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch him, O God. Touch him, Lord, according to your will and according to his faith. Lord, I pray that you will touch him right now at the point of his need. In the name of Jesus, touch him. Touch him, Jesus, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for my sister here, Lord. I pray healing touch in the name of Jesus. Healer, oh God, minister to her right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I trust you and I believe that you are able to touch her. Minister to her, Lord, from the toes of her feet to the hairs of her head. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, touch her right now. In Jesus' name, I give you praise, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my sister here. In the name of Jesus, minister to her, Lord. Minister to her right now. In the name of Jesus, you know what it is that she's trusting and believing you for, Lord. I pray at that point of need, minister to her right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, even the Son of the living God. Touch her, oh God, right now. I rebuke every power of darkness, every influence.